Scripture reading for this afternoon we can find in the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 17, verses 1 through 6. Then we'll skip over to Revelation chapter 18 and read that in its entirety. So Revelation 17, verses 1 to 6, and Revelation 18. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto you the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And then verse 18, or chapter 18, verse 1. And after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and live deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city! For in one hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise any more, the merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all thyan wood and all manner vessels of ivory and all manner vessels of most precious wood and of brass and iron and marble and cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and souls of men. And the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee, and all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. The merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in one hour so great riches is come to naught, and every shipmaster, and all the company in ships and sailors, and as many as trade by sea, stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, What city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, Alas, alas, that great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness. For in 1 hour is she made desolate. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, Thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down, and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of harpers and musicians and of pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee. And no craftsman of whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. Thus far the reading of God's holy and infallible word. Let's now make confession of faith with the church of all ages and places in the words of the Apostles' Creed. Our text for this afternoon comes from Revelation chapter 18, verse 4. We want to consider that verse in the context of chapter 18 and the first six verses of chapter 17. I'll just read verse 4 for you again. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. Well, cities can have a great influence in the world today. We see that so often. Some cities are centers of the financial sector of a country, like New York here, just across the river. Others are important centers of culture and learning. Others are infamous for luxury, for sensual pleasure, for gambling and immorality. Others are important centers of commerce and trade. Some people view the city in a negative light as a place to be avoided because of the sin that can be indulged in there. But others see the city as an opportunity. As they see all the people coming together in the city, they see it as a wonderful opportunity to bring the gospel, to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Well, in Revelation 18, we have a city pictured for us. A city that influences not only the world, but that influences our lives. It really stands for what the world is. The city of Babylon. It's the city of man. It represents the world of sin and of rebellion against God, of evil and immorality. And in Revelation 21 to 22, we have a city called Jerusalem. The heavenly city. It's the city of God in which He dwells in perfection. Where all things are perfect as people dwell in glory. And it's these two cities that come into focus at the end of Scripture. This afternoon we want to examine where our allegiance lies. Our allegiance lies either with Babylon, what the world represents, or it lies with Jerusalem, and that's like the pole star, that's the focus that keeps us going throughout this life. As we look towards the coming of Jesus Christ again. And this afternoon I want to focus specifically on the city of Babylon, on Babylon, and see how that city has an influence on our lives and on our hearts. I want to look at what it represents. And as we see the picture for us portrayed of Babylon, we hear a voice in the midst of that picture calling us out of Babylon. Calling us to break off the influence that the world has in our lives and hearts. So our theme this afternoon is Flee Babylon. Flee Babylon. And we see three things. First of all, we see the picture of Babylon presented. Secondly, we see the punishment of Babylon administered. And finally, we see the people of Babylon addressed. So the picture of Babylon, the punishment of Babylon, and thirdly, the people of Babylon. And the picture that's presented here in our text is really a picture of a mighty, of a self-sufficient city. A city that's drunk with the pleasures of the world. A city that really represents the world itself and all its rebellion against God, its opposition against God. Revelation 17, verses 1 to 6, really is an impressive picture. Even the Apostle John is amazed at what he sees. And I wonder if we recognize this city in our own lives. I think we do to some extent. It's a city that you and I are living in by nature, and if we've been regenerated, we still feel the pull of that city trying to pull us back within the city walls. So often we build mighty and self-sufficient cities like what Babylon represents. We become drunk with the pleasures of the world. We have the wool pulled over our eyes. We don't see the strong influence that the world exerts on us. But we see that judgment is coming upon this great city, so we're warned with the picture that's presented to us. And the angel in Revelation 18, verse 2, he begins to describe this city. He comes down from heaven shining with heavenly glory. He shouts with a powerful voice, "Babylon the Great is fallen. This present sinful world order is as good as done. It is fallen. The city, it still stands today. This world order, it still goes on. But it's as good as done." The angel is speaking in the past tense, showing that the judgment of God already hangs above the world. And this message of judgment of the fallen nature of Babylon comes as a warning to us that if we live in Babylon, we will face certain judgment. That it's already as good as done. The world is as good as fallen from its self-elevation. The world elevates itself. It puffs itself up. But it's already fallen. If you live in Babylon, if you live in the world, if your heart is not with Christ, but in the world, you serve a fallen God. Babylon's presented as a rotting corpse. It's inhabited by devils, by wild animals and buzzards that feed off of dead flesh. It's deserted of all life. It's really a hopeless future if you live in the world. If that's where your allegiance lies this afternoon, you only have to look around you and you already see that Babylon is fallen. The world, despite its glamour, is falling apart. If you look at the movie industry in Hollywood, it claims happiness. It claims glitz and glamour, but it's already fallen. You see the hollow stares in the eyes of the movie stars, splashed all over the tabloids and in the newspapers. And it's largely on a path of self-destruction. The American dream claims the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But what does it lead to? It leads to crippling credit card debts. Leads to mortgage foreclosures. Leads to economic disaster. We see the world already groaning under the effects of sin and of judgment. The world is already fallen. It's a hollow shell. It's like a rotting corpse with nothing to offer. There's no life in Babylon. And life without Christ in this world is really miserable. There's nothing attractive about it. That's why Christ calls to you this afternoon. Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins and the judgment that's to come. despite its fallenness, Babylon is an influential city. It has far-reaching political and economic influence. Verse 3 says it this way, "For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies." It seems Babylon has a lot to offer. There's not a nation that's untouched by its influence. All nations have drunk of the wine of her fornication. Kings and rulers are influenced by this city and have been seduced by the promise of power and of wealth. The merchants of the earth, they see economic advantage in the world. They become rich through the abundance of her delicacies, literally through the abundance of her sensual living. The merchants of the earth have become rich. The city of Babylon, it peddles in all sorts of pleasures and sensuality. And it's that influences, that grips the nations of the earth. We see the relevance of our own day when rulers of the earth are grasping for power, for wealth, partaking of this city with reckless abandon. It's not only the rulers, it's the citizens as well that follow their rulers. How many of us are untouched by the influences of this world, by the influences of the city of Babylon? Nations flock to her to improve standards of life and luxury. That in itself is not bad, but it's done in open immorality. It's no longer guided by moral standards. It's done in the name of progress. The businessmen of this world are often influenced by the dollar signs that the world offers and the promises that come with wealth. The world says if you are the richest man, or if you're richer than your neighbor, you have more power. There's money to be made in the world, and so the merchants of the earth, they flock to this city. It's the general bent of the world today. But I think if we examine our own hearts, we see traces of it. We see that it's the bent of our own hearts. The city is so influential in our lives, in our way of living, our way of thinking. It permeates everything that we say, that we do. The world encroaches on us. We're seduced. We're blinded by it. We're swallowed by it. But Christ comes in His mercy and He calls out to us this afternoon, "Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, that ye be not partakers of her judgments." Babylon is not only influential, Babylon is also a sinful city. Verse 5, you read, "For her sins have reached unto heaven." In other words, the measuring cup is full. The sins of Babylon have reached the climax. Literally, the sin of Babylon, of this world, has reached unto heaven. Have your sins reached to heaven as part of Babylon's sins? Is the measuring cup of your sins full? Is the measuring cup of the sins of our society, of our country, is it full? Our society has become lawless. Each is becoming a law unto himself. What's right for you is right for you, but what's right for me is what's right for me. We become lovers of ourselves. We become narcissists. We become enamored with our own image. Rather than seeing the image of God being recreated in us, we are perpetuating the fallen image that we've inherited. We give honor to the creature rather than to the Creator. Have you partaken, beloved, of the sins of Babylon, of the sins of this world? Are you making yourself subjects of the wrath and judgment of God? Does your allegiance lie with this city? Or does it lie with Christ who suffered the wrath of God against the sins of His people? Are you finding shelter in Him from the wrath which is to come. Christ cries out lovingly, "Come out of her, my people, lest ye be partakers of her sins." Babylon is also a sensual city. The angel describes it as such for us. The nations, kings, and merchants have committed fornication. They've committed adultery with the world. Every sensual pleasure can be found in Babylon. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, it can all be satisfied in the world, can't it? Babylon is like Sodom and Gomorrah, which are described in Ezekiel 16, verse 46, as having of being full of pride, having fullness of bread, having abundance of idleness. The citizens of this world are contented and blinded by riches and sensual pleasures, committing fornication with the world, spiritual adultery with Babylon. How many of you are doing the same? Having one foot in the world and one foot in the church. Committing adultery and yet claiming, committing adultery with the world yet claiming to love God. Are you blinded by the trappings and by the wealth of this city? By the sensual pleasures that the world has to offer? Have you been drawn in? We live in a society that's obsessed with the sexual to the point where everything has become normal. We live in an incredibly rich society where money is no object, it seems, to satisfy the lusts of the flesh. And so often we're taken, we're drawn in by the culture of our own day without even perhaps thinking about it. We become desensitized. Creeps in unnoticed, and before we notice it, we've been drawn in and we left the Lord. But Christ calls in mercy. "Come out of her, my people, lest ye be partakers of her sins and of her judgment." Finally, Babylon is really a godless and a Christless city. That's why she's so sensual and full of every pleasure of the world. Babylon seems so attractive, yet someone has said it this way, "Yet Babylon is rotten." This is the sum total of her longings, what she can see and smell and taste and feel and hear. The world lives for the senses. This is the fruit she longs for. She aches for this. She hungers and thirsts for this. The world and the things of this world with God shut out completely. The world is self-sufficient with no desire for God. She boasts in her pride and self-sufficiency. She says in her heart, "I sit a queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow." She's self-confident. She's a Christless city, for the streets are filled with the blood of the martyrs. As we read in verse 24, "And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth." Philosophy of this world, of Babylon, is anti-Christ. It's anti-God. It's anti-gospel. This is how the world lives today. Is that how you're living this afternoon? Do you live in Babylon yet? Is your heart still there? Is this the longing of your heart to be living in the world, partaking of its pleasures? Young people, do you live without fear of judgment, thinking that you can live how you want and claiming to love God at the same time? But it doesn't work, because Christ calls you. In that call, we see that it's an exclusive call to serve Him alone. We can't serve two masters. Maybe some of you sit back to wait until God works in your hearts. You say, God will work when He's ready, and in the meantime, I can just live how I want. Maybe you're a child of God. You can't deny that God has worked in your life. And yet you feel the pull of this city. And you know that you've backslidden, partaken of its sins. But Christ calls out again. Come out of her, my people. Lest you be partakers of her sins. Lest the judgment and the punishment which will be meted out upon Babylon will be meted out upon you. And that's the second thing that we want to consider. The punishment administered to Babylon. Babylon is a city under judgment. We've already seen that. Babylon the Great is fallen. We've seen that our sins have reached unto heaven. God has remembered her iniquities. That means that God has seen. God does see what this world stands for. He will act upon the sins of this world. He will begin to turn things around. He will destroy utterly and completely. And the judgment that God will administer is complete. That's pictured for us in verse 6. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. Babylon is to receive a punishment that fits her sins. Her cup of judgment is full and complete. It will be poured out completely upon her. God's wrath and judgment hangs over Babylon, hangs over the world and what it stands for. Will you escape this judgment? Come out of her to Jesus. That's the only way that you can escape the judgment that hangs over this world. Flee to Christ. Give God no rest till you've laid hold of Christ. Till you find shelter in Him, under His blood, under His righteousness. Shelter in Him, in the fact that He has borne the wrath of the sins of His people. Because His punishment will also be sure. God doesn't speak in vague generalities. He doesn't say, maybe this punishment will come. No, it is coming. The angel speaks in the past tense. Babylon is fallen. It's a sure thing in the mind of God because of the awful sins that have reached up to heaven that God sees. God will come. He will mete out punishment perfectly. That's a warning for us to flee. If we seek to escape this sure punishment, flee to Jesus again. Maybe you've come sullied and soiled by this world. Come to Jesus and find cleansing in His blood and clothing in His righteousness so you can escape the wrath to come. Forget the sins of Babylon. Don't look back to them. But look ahead to Jesus. Behold the servant, as we heard this morning. Remember His death and His resurrection. That in what He has accomplished, the punishment that is due to you has been taken by Him. This punishment will also be swift. Her judgment will come in one day. In verse 8 we read, therefore shall her plagues come in one day. Death and mourning and famine. She shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. Those who have benefited from Babylon will mourn this swift judgment in verse 10. And we see that it's even swifter than one day. Alas, alas, that great city, Babylon, that mighty city, for in one hour is thy judgment come. Babylon will be reduced to rubble. Everything that seems so attractive in this world will be gone, destroyed in an instant. In verse 17 we read, for in one hour so great riches is come to naught. Do you think that you're safe in your riches, in your money, or anything else that you place your trust in besides the Lord Jesus Christ? It will be reduced to nothing in an hour. We just need to look at the world around us. We see how quickly things go awry. Stock markets plunge in a day. The Twin Towers, they crash in a matter of a few hours. The city of 3 million is leveled in one earthquake. Judgment is so swift. Are you ready? Have you left Babylon? Is your security in Christ? Or is it built on things that will be destroyed instantly? We see that this punishment is also victorious. God's people delight in the judgment that is to come upon Babylon. Everything about this city goes against what we as the people of God stand for. It's wicked culture. It's saturation of riches, its emphasis on the sensual, its godless and Christless philosophy stands in the face of what we stand for. Flies in the face of the gospel, the face of the holiness of God. In the face of the call for us to be separate. The world opposes us and hates us. But the world will be destroyed by God's judgment, and God's people in heaven and on earth will rejoice in this judgment upon Babylon. The Lord says, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay." And this vengeance upon the wicked is the victory of the saints. In verse 20. Christ commands His people, He says, "Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her." This victorious judgment already began on the cross when Christ crushed the head of Satan. It will be brought to a head at the final judgment when this world will be destroyed in an instant. The epicenter of sin in our lives will be destroyed. No longer reverberate in our lives. The world which has spouted its hatred and venom towards the people of God, maybe even towards you, will be silenced. The blood of martyrs and of saints will be paid for in the righteous anger of the Lord. And those who grow rich off Babylon will mourn her destruction. Their livelihood is gone. We see that mourning in verses 9 to 20. They weep and wail and lament, but the destruction of Babylon is God's victory. So it's also the victory of His people. And when God comes in judgment against this world, will you mourn over its judgment? Or will you join with the saints, with the holy apostles and prophets, in rejoicing that sin and the world will be destroyed? And we see that this judgment is finally irreversible. It's pictured in that the angel takes a millstone and he casts it into the sea. It's not just a small stone, it's a huge stone that's used for grinding wheat, a stone that's turned by oxen. The angel takes the stone, he hurls it into the sea, and there it's never to be pulled up again. That's the future of Babylon, to be buried, to be forgotten, never to be raised up again. Lodges there. Babylon will never appear again. That's the end of those who remain in Babylon as well. There's no future there. There is certain and irreversible judgment coming against this great city. Verse 22 to 23 show that there will be no more life in this city. There will be an eerie silence, no more music, no more production of goods, no more celebration of weddings. The lights will be snuffed out. The merchants, the city's great men, will be dead. There's only complete and utter destruction. Do you see the futility of aligning yourself with the world, with Babylon? She rides upon the beast, which represents Satan. She's full of wickedness. Her fate is sealed in the judgment of God. She'll be utterly destroyed. Make no mistake, her judgment is as good as done. That's why Christ calls out in mercy, "Come out of her." He addresses you this afternoon. He addresses my people. But before we consider that, let's first sing. Christ issues a call to each one of us this afternoon to forsake Babylon, to flee her for the punishment that will come upon her. He says, "Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities." This plea is issued by Christ this afternoon to forsake the world, to flee to Him. And if we forsake Babylon and what it represents, we can flee to Christ. It's not fleeing from Babylon to nowhere. It's fleeing from Babylon to rest in the security and the safety of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We must prepare our hearts to meet Him. That preparation includes cutting ourselves off from the world of sin and temptation, fleeing from this city. Where are you taking refuge this afternoon? When this call comes to you, are you fleeing? Are you taking refuge in the voice that calls you so lovingly, so full of mercy, so longing that you not be partakers of the sins of this city, longing that you will not be found in judgment? Or are you building your precarious and weak defenses in Babylon? You need to know that those defenses will be destroyed in an instant. But if you're building your foundation upon Jesus Christ, it's an eternal refuge. He is a refuge, a habitation whereunto you can continually resort, as we read in Psalm 73, verse 3. And look to who this plea is addressed, lest you opt out of this command to forsake Babylon. Christ says, "Come out of her, my people." It's a call to those who profess faith in Jesus Christ, to flee this world and what it represents. Like the angels came to Lot and told him to flee Sodom and Gomorrah, so we are told to flee for our life's sake, to never look back, to flee and to leave behind what this world is. We're to separate ourselves spiritually from the world, its attractions and its amusements. It seeks to draw us in, seeks to numb our spiritual consciousness, to stop us from thinking. It's really what amusement means. It comes from the French, which means not to think. That's what the world tries to get us to do. Not to think about God. Not to think about Christ. Not to think about the judgment that's coming. But to live for here and now. To live for the pleasures of this world. I'm afraid many of us, as the people of God, myself included, live loosely in regards to the world. We think we can flirt with the world and draw back, and flirt with it again and draw back again. We think we can have a foot in both worlds. But that's not the case. Christ calls us to renew our allegiance with Him this afternoon, so that we're not partakers of the sins and of the judgment of Babylon. He pleads with His children this afternoon to flee to Him afresh, to seek cleansing from the sins of this world, to live a life of holiness and thankfulness for Him. It's a call to watchfulness over our own lives, to see whether we've slipped back into the city gates without even knowing it. Christ says in Luke 21, verse 36, "Watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, to stand before the Son of Man." Perhaps you thought you could slip in just once. We've seen how powerful this city is and the grip that it has on people who come in. Maybe it sucked you back in. But Christ calls out to you, come out. Break off association with the world, with sin. Cut it off. You say, well, I can't find the exit. I knew where it once was, but I can't find it anymore. Well, it's found in this voice. It's found in the cross. There's a cross-shaped exit in this city for those who have been defiled by the sins of Babylon again. By issuing this call, Christ displays who He is and what He has done for those who have partaken of the sins of this city again. He calls you to escape through the cross, through what He has done upon the cross, to leave the sights, the sounds, the tastes, and the smells of this city, and to taste and see that the Lord is good again. Maybe there are those of you who haven't left the city of Babylon yet, who have never left it before, and yet you long to leave it. You feel its pull, but you're sick and tired of it. You feel pulled down. You want to be rid of the dirt and the filth that clings to you, the sensuality. You realize that you can't escape in your own power, because your heart keeps drawing you back again to Babylon. The city has a grip on you and you search for an exit. And Christ calls out to you, come out of her, my people. Here is the exit this afternoon. Don't let God alone till you've been set free, delivered from the bondage of Babylon. Christ is calling you to change your allegiances from being a lover of the world to being a lover of Christ. Well, you say too, I can't find the exit. But here again is the cross, the exit from Babylon. Christ has provided a way of escape for those who are powerless to escape in their own power. Here you can find new life. Here you can find the power to break with sin, to break from the pleasure and pride of this world. No matter how the world has had its grip on you, no matter how much the world has ravaged you and torn you, attempting to destroy you, here at the cross you can find healing and life and restoration. That's what the cross represents. Christ's death and resurrection is the life of sinners. It's dying to the world and living unto Christ. Do you find your life in Babylon, or do you find it in the cross, in Christ? Christ calls out to those of you who are trapped in Babylon this afternoon, come out. Come to me. I will give you rest from sin and temptation. I will give you peace from this world. Yes, you will fight against it, but there will be peace between God and yourself. Christ is in me, in my spirit. You can find strength to fight with sin, to break it off. Will you not come out and come to Christ this afternoon? There's no sin too great that He cannot forgive. You say, well, I've spent all my capital in Babylon. There's nothing I can do to buy salvation. Did you know that's exactly where Christ wants you? To rest completely in His work. To bring nothing of yourself. Listen to Isaiah 55, verse 1 and 2. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk, without money, without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. You want to be satisfied. You'll never be satisfied in the world. You'll only be satisfied in Jesus Christ, who has borne the wrath of the sins of His people. Here is salvation for those who are attempting to flee from Babylon. And you can flee, because the cross is lifted up. The Son of Man was lifted up for all to see and to behold. Flee. Come out of her, my people. And perhaps there are those of you who have no desire to leave Babylon. You love its pleasures. You take pride in your own accomplishments. You rest in them. You ignore Christ's call this afternoon to forsake this city. You love it too much. You feel you can't break with it. You'd be sacrificing too much. You've grown fat and lazy on the world's pleasures. Do you still ignore this cross, this exit from Babylon? If you do, you do so at your own peril. You do so heading for eternal destruction. Do you continue saying, like the rich farmer, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Are you settled in Babylon? Have you put down roots there? Are you taking your ease? Secure. Secure enough to ignore the salvation that God freely offers to sinners this afternoon? Are you flippantly rejecting the gospel? And I need to warn you with the words that God spoke to that same farmer. He said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall these things be which thou hast provided? Will you lose your soul for a few fading pleasures of this world? A world that is headed for judgment. Does this message seem as one who mocks? Does Christ seem this afternoon to you as one who mocks, like the angels, or like Lot seemed to his sons-in-law? Genesis 19, verse 14, we read, and Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he, that is Lot, seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. They were happy to be there. They ignored the warning. They ignored the offer of the gospel to flee that city, to be partakers of life. The call comes again in mercy. Come out of her, my people. You don't need to end in Babylon. You don't need to be partakers of her judgment and of her sins. But there is life freely offered in Jesus Christ this afternoon. Flee that wretched city and flee to Jesus Christ. This plea is urgent because Babylon is as good as fallen. This plea is urgent because judgment is coming. The world's sins have reached unto heaven. I ask you again, where are you finding shelter from judgment? Is it in the blood, the righteousness, the obedience, the person and work of Jesus Christ? Only then will you be safe. Are you finding shelter and security in this world, so that when Christ comes again, you'll be heading out to the mountains along the freeway. You'll be calling out to those mountains to cover you, because you're not prepared to meet with Christ. you'll be partakers of the judgment of God upon this world. Christ calls once more, full of gospel love, of mercy, of compassion, not desiring that any should die. God doesn't delight in the death of the wicked, but that all should turn and repent. Come out of her, my people, and be saved. Amen.